Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to say good morning to each and every one of you. This is Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. It's a great day to be alive, great day to be up and spry. Good morning, Sister Becky. Hope you're doing well. How's your health today? How's Melissa? How's Jim? How's Sarah? Type in something for me if you would. Good to see you this morning. Just a good day to be alive, a good day to reflect on what God has done for you and the journey that he has set for you. You do understand that he has you with purpose. You've been created with purpose. And so, therefore, it's your job to tap into that purpose by learning more about what God would have for you to be. This is our morning prayer time, and we always have made it a custom now to allow God to talk to us, to mold our mind, and to get us set up for the day individually so that we'll be better socially, we'll be better servants all the way around, and we'll do it with God's purpose and God's guidance. What you got, morning, Michael? Doing well, as can be expected. No surprises, Lord. Amen. It's the little things that mean a whole lot, don't it, sis? It's a blessing. We've been praying for you and praying with you. And so we're up this morning for that. This is our time when we broadcast. Good morning, Mother. I see you. We broadcast also on Blog Talk Radio. So this is our Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ show. So we want to say good morning to those in the continental United States that are on, with those that are listening in Canada. I want to say good morning to you, those that are in Norway, those that are in the United Kingdom, and those that are in Cyprus. We've been added to the area of Cyprus. We want to say good morning or good afternoon or whatever time it is in your time frame. We just want to say good day to you. Because it does, I can tell. Thank you. Yes, your prayer does work, evoking on the God who allows healing. And who makes things happen, Sister Becky. We're also working in collaboration. This is for Golgotha, our morning caffeine shot for Christ show, but we're also working in collaboration with Armed and Dangerous Ministries out of Des Moines, Iowa, for the Good Morning Your Majesty. And so we're always excited about collaborating on something that we have commonality on, and mankind needs to do that all the way around. And that's reading God's word. He's sleeping in Vegas. Yeah, he is. I saw him with the blinds. It was hilarious. But that's that country boy in him. All right, let's get to where we're at here. We're going to be starting in Genesis chapter 34. And I don't have my glasses with me, so I'm going to do the best I can. Today, I've been doing fairly well, but I know that I left them in my car. I guess I'm just too lazy to go out and get them. I'm going to give me another pair so I can keep some here and keep some there so I can idiot-proof myself. All right, Genesis chapter 34. Dinah, Leah's daughter, whom she bore to Jacob, went out to see some of the young women of the area. When Shechem, son of Hamor, the Hivite, a prince of the region, saw her, he took her and raped her. Lord have mercy. He became infatuated with Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young girl and spoke tenderly to her. Get me this girl as a wife, he told his father Hamor. Jacob heard that Shechem had defiled his daughter Dinah. But since his sons were with his livestock in the field, He remained silent until they returned. Meanwhile, good morning, Ben Thornley. We're in Genesis chapter 34 this morning. Verse number 6. Meanwhile, Shechem's father Hamor came to speak with Jacob. Jacob's sons returned from the field. When they heard about the incident, and were deeply grieved and angry. For Shechem had committed an outrage against Israel by raping Jacob's daughter, and such a thing should not be done. Hamor said to Jacob's sons, "My son Shechem is strongly attracted to your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife. Intermarry with us. Give your daughters to us and take our daughters for yourselves. Live with us. The land is before you. Settle here, move about, and acquire property in it." Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers, "Grant me this favor, and I'll give you whatever you say. Demand of me a high compensation and gift. I'll give you whatever you ask. Just give the girl to be my wife." But Jacob's sons answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully, because he had defiled their sister Dinah. "We cannot do this thing." They said to them, "Giving our sister to an uncircumcised man is a disgrace to us. We will agree with you only on this condition. If all your males are circumcised as we are, then we will give you our daughters. Take your daughters for ourselves, live with you, and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and go." Good morning, Zane. Good to see you this morning. All right, we're in Genesis chapter 34, beginning of verse 18. Their words seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. The young man did not delay doing this because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. Now, he was the most important in all his father's house. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the gate of the city and spoke to the men there. "These men are peaceful toward us," they said. "Let them live in our land and move about in it, for indeed the region is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters as our wives and give our daughters to them. But the men will agree to live with us as and be one people only on this condition: if all our men are circumcised as they are, won't their livestock, their possessions, and all their animals become ours? Only let us agree with them, and they will live with us." Yes, the Bible is graphic, but you're absolutely right. All the able-bodied men listened to Hamor and his son Shechem. And all the able-bodied men were circumcised. On the third day, when they were still in path, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords, went into the unexpected city, and killed every male. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem with their swords, took Dinah from Shechem's house, and went away. Jacob's other sons came to the slaughter and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, cattle, donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the field. They captured all their possessions, children, and wives, and plundered everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me, making me odious to the inhabitants of the land. the Canaanites and the Perizzites, we are few in number. If they unite against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed. But they answered, should we have treated our sister like a prostitute? Chapter 35, God said to Jacob, get up, go to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his family and all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your clothes. We must get up and go to Bethel. I will build an altar there to the God who answered my day of distress. Amen, somebody. He has been with me everywhere I have gone. Then they gave Jacob all their foreign gods and their earrings. And Jacob hid them under the oak of Shechem. When they set out, a terror from God came over the city around them, and they did not pursue Jacob's sons. So Jacob and all who were with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and called the place God of Bethel, because it was there that God had revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Good to see my wife on Blog Talk this morning. Those of you that would like to call in on Blog Talk Live, you can call in on 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. Chapter 35, verse 8. Deborah, the one who had nursed and raised Rebecca, died and was buried under the oak south of Bethel. So Jacob named it Oak of Weeping. God appeared to Jacob again after he returned from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob. You will no longer be named Jacob, but your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation, indeed an assembly of nations, will come from you, and kings will descend from you. I will give to you the land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, and I will give the land to your future descendants. Then God withdrew from him at the place where he had spoken to him. Jacob set up a marker at the place where he had spoken to him, a stone marker. He poured a drink offering on it and anointed it with oil. Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. Good morning, Robin Thomas Green. Good to see you, cuz. Hope everything is well with you. We're in Genesis chapter 35 at verse 16 now. Those of you who have the video, if you would share the video, we'd definitely appreciate it. 16, verse 16. They set out from Bethel when they were still some distance from Ephrath. Rachel began to give birth, and her labor was difficult. During her difficult labor, the midwife said to her, don't be afraid, for you have another son. With her last breath, for she was dying, she named him Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Jacob set up a marker on her grave. It is the marker at Rachel's grave to this day. Verse 21, Israel set out again and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben, went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah. Good morning, Sharon Baker. And Israel heard about it. Jacob had 12 sons. Hey, cuz, I see you. Leah's sons were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Rachel's sons were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Rachel's slave Bilhah were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Leah's slaves Zilpah were Gad and Asher. Morning, all right. Excuse me here. There we go. He gave to his father Isaac. Hold on. Excuse me. The sons, verse number 26. The sons of Leah's slaves, Zilpah, were Dan and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, who were born to him in Padan Aram. Verse number 27. Jacob came to his father Isaac in Mamre in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. What you got, Betty? Now, E, all those sons are blessed. Yeah, all those sons. Yeah, 12 blessed. Lord have mercy. Let me go back to verse 27 so I don't miss the story here. Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. There we go. He took his last breath and died, and was gathered to his people, old and full of days. His sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Chapter 36, these are the family records of Esau, that is Edom. Esau took his wives from the Canaanite woman, Ada, daughter of Elon, the Hittite, Aholamabah, daughter of Anah, and granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Bashanmath, daughter of Ishmael, and sister Nabaioth. Hey, that's an I. That's not an L. Yeah, Nabaioth. There you go. Adah bore Eliphaz to Esau, Basemath to Reuel, and Aholibamah to Joash, Jalam, and Korah. These were Esau's sons who were born to him in the land of Canaan. Esau took his wives, sons, daughters, and all the people of his household, as well as his herds, all his livestock, and all the property he had acquired in Canaan. He went to the land, to a land away from his brother Jacob, for their possessions were too many for them to live together. And because of their herds, the land where they stayed could not support them. Sound like Abraham and Lot, doesn't it? So Esau, that is Edom, lived in the mountains of Seir. These are the family records of Esau, father of the Edomites in the mountains of Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, son of Esau's wife Adah, and Reuel, son of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Kenaz. Timnah, a concubine of Esau's sons Eliphaz, bore Amalek and Eliphaz. These were the sons of Esau's wife, Ada. These are Reuel's sons, Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These were the sons of Esau's wife, Basemah. These are the sons of Esau's wife, Aholibamah, daughter of Anah, and granddaughter of Zibiah. She bore Jewish, Jalam, and Korah to Edom. These are the chiefs of Esau's sons, the sons of Eliphaz, Esau's firstborn, chiefs Timon, Omar, Zephah, Kenaz, Korah, Dathan, and Amalek. These are the chiefs of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Ada. These are the sons of Reuel, Esau's sons, chiefs Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These are the chiefs of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Esau's wife, Basemah. These are the sons of Esau's wife, Aholibamah, chiefs of chiefs Jewish, Jalam, and Korah. These are the chiefs. What we got here? Oh, somebody want a minute. Hang on 1 second. I have to tag someone. There we go. All right, verse 18. These are the sons of Esau's wife, Aholibamah, chiefs Jewish, Jalam, and Korah. These are the chiefs of Esau's wife, Aholibamah, daughter of Anah. These are the sons of Esau, that is Edom, and these are their chiefs. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, the inhabitants of the land, Lotan, Shobal, Zimeon, Anah, Disha, the morning DC, good to see you, Doc, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. These are the chiefs of the Horites, the sons of Seir in the land of Edom. Give me a drink of water, please. I have to wet my whistle. Good morning, Doc. Good to see you, Doc. Hope you and the wife are doing well. We're in Genesis chapter 36, now in verse number 22. The sons of Lotan were Horai and Heman. Timnah and Lotan's sister was Lotan's sister. Timnah was Lotan's sister. These are Shobal's sons, Alvin, Manahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. Onam. Yes, always long. Onam. These are Gibeon's sons, Aiah and Anah. This was the Anah who found the hot springs in the wilderness while he was passing the donkeys of his father Gibeon. These are the children of Anah, Dishan and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah. These are Dishan's sons, Hemdan, Ishban, Ithran, and Cheran. These are Ezer's sons, Bilhan, Zeavan, and Achan. These are Dishan's sons, Uz, and Aran. These are the chiefs of the Horites, chief Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. These are the chiefs of the Horites according to their divisions in the land of Seir. These are the kings who ruled in the land of Edom before any king ruled over the Israelites. Bela, son of Beor, ruled in Edom. The name of his city was Dinhabah. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah, of Bozrah, became king in his place. When Zobab died, Hushan, from the land of the Timonites, became king in his place. When Hushan died, Hadad, son Bedad became king in his place. He defeated Midian in the field of Moab, and the name of the city was Aven. When Herod died, Shemaiah from Masrekah became king in his place. When Shemaiah died, Shuah from Rehoboth on the Euphrates River became king in his place. When Shuah died, Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, became king in his place. When Baal-Hanan died of Achbor, Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, died, Hadar became king in his place. His city was Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, daughter of Matred, daughter of Mehetabel. These are the names of Esau's chiefs, according to their families and their localities, by their names: Shittimnah, Alva, Zephah, Aholibamah, Elah, Pinan, Kenaz, Teman, Mibzah, Madbeel, and Aaron. These are Edom's chiefs according to their settlements in the land they possessed. Esau, the father of the Edomites. Everything in this place, everything in this organization, as they come and as they die, their successors take over. Chapter 37. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. These are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought a bad report to them, to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons because Joseph was a son born to him in his old age. And he made a robe of many colors for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his daughters, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peacefully to him. Then Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. You ever been there? He said to him, "Listen to this dream I had. There we were binding sheaves of grain in the field. Suddenly my sheaf stood up, and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. Are you really going to reign over us?" his brethren asked him. "Are you really going to rule us?" So they hated him even more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and told it to his brothers. "Look," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun, moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." He told his father and brothers, but his father rebuked him. "What kind of dream is that you have had?" He said, "Are your mother and brothers and I going to come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. His brothers had gone to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, your brothers, you know, are pasturing the flocks at Shechem. Get ready. I'm sending you to them. I'm ready, Joseph replied. Then Israel said to him, go and see how your brothers and the flocks are doing, and bring word back to me. Excuse me. So he sent him to the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. A man found him there, wandering in the field, and asked him, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my brothers, Joseph said. Can you tell me where they are pasturing their flocks? They've moved on from here, the man said. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph set out after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him in the distance, and before he had reached them, they plotted to kill him. Lord have mercy. They said to one another, here comes that dreamer. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these pits. We can say that a vicious animal ate him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Everybody always wants to kill a dreamer, don't they? Verse 21. When Reuben heard this, he tried to save him from them. He said, let's not take his life. Reuben also said to them, don't shed blood. Throw him into this pit in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him, intending to rescue him from their hands and return him to his father. When Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped off his robe, the robe of many colors that he had on. Then they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat a meal. They looked up, and there was a caravan of Ishmaelites coming to Gilead. Their camels were carrying aromatic gum, balsam, and resin, going down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what do we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And they agreed. When Midianite traders passed by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the pit and sold him for 20 pieces of silk to the Ishmaelites, who took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, the boy is gone. What am I going to do? So they took Joseph's robes, slaughtered a young goat, and dipped the robe in its blood. They sent the robe of many colors to their father and said, we found this. Examine it. Is it your son's robe or not? His father recognized it. It is my son's robe. He said, a vicious animal has devoured him. Joseph has been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth around his waist, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will go down to Sheol to my son mourning. And his father wept for him. Meanwhile, Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, at the captain and the captain of the guard. Chapter 38. At that time, Judah left his brothers and settled near an Adullamite named Hira. There Judah saw the daughter of the Canaanite named Shuah. He took her as a wife and slept with her. She conceived and gave birth to a son and he named him Ir. She conceived again, gave birth to a son, and named him Onan. She gave birth to another son and named him Shelah. It was at Shaviv that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife from Ir, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. Now Ir, Judah's firstborn, was evil in the Lord's sight, and Judah put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Sleep with your brother's wife, perform your duty as her brother-in-law, and produce offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he released his semen on the ground so that he would not produce offspring for his brother. Lord have mercy. What he did was evil in the Lord's sight. You might need to hear that this morning. So he put him to death also. Then Judah said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, "Remain a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up, for he thought he might die too, like his brothers." So Tamar went to live in her father's house. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shuah, died. When Judah had finished mourning, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite, went up to Timnah to the sheep shears. Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." So she took off her clothes. So she took off her widow's clothes, veiled her face, covered herself, and sat at the entrance of Enlim, which is on the way of Timnah. For she saw that though Shelah had grown up, she had not been given to him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. He went over to her and said, "Come, let me sleep with you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. The plot thickens. She said, "What will you give me for sleeping with me? I will send you a young goat from my flock," he replied. But she said, "Only if you leave something with me until you send it." "What should I give you?" he asked. She answered, "Your signet ring, your cord, and the staff in your hand." So he gave them to her and slept with her, and she got pregnant by him. She got up and left, then removed her veil and put her widow's clothes back on. Lord have mercy. When Judah sent the young goat to his friend, the Adullamite, in order to get back the items he had left with the woman, he could not find her. Well, I remember the story. It's hilarious. He asked the men of the place, "Where is the cult, the prostitute? Where is the cult prostitute who was beside the road of Enlil?" There has been no cult prostitute here, they answered. So the Adulamite returned to Judah saying, I couldn't find her. And furthermore, the men of the place said, there has been no cult prostitute here. Judah replied, let her keep the items for herself. Otherwise, we will become a laughing stock. After all, I did send this young goat, but you couldn't find her. Look how noble he feels now. After 3 months later, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law, Tamar, has been acting like a prostitute. And now she is pregnant. Pull her out, Judah said. Let her be burned to death. As she was being brought out, she sent her father-in-law this message. I am pregnant by the man to whom these items belong. And she had examined them. Whose signet ring, cord, and staff are these? Judah recognized them and said, she is more in the right than I. Since I did not give her to my son Shelah, and he did not know her intimately again. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twins in her womb. As she was at birth, one of them put out his hand, and the midwife took it and tied a scarlet thread around it, announcing, this one came out first. But then he pulled back his hand, and his brother came out. Then she said, you have broken out first? So he was named Perez. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread tied to his hand, came out and was named Zerah. Chapter 39. Now Joseph had been taken to Egypt. An Egyptian named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made everything he did successful, Joseph found favor in his master's sight and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. From the time that he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all that he owned, in his house and in his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority. Spoken word, sorry about that. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. After some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, sleep with me. But he refused. Look, he said to his master's wife, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in his house. And he has put all that he owns under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I do such a thing? How could I do such a great evil and sin against God? Amen. Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to bed with her. Now, one day he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. She grabbed him by his garment and said, "Sleep with me." But leaving his garment in her hands, he escaped and ran outside. "Run, Joseph." When she saw that he had left his garment with her and had run outside, she called the household servants. "Look," she said to them, "my husband brought a Hebrew man to make fools of us. He came to me so he could sleep with me. And I screamed as loud as I could." Look at that lie. When he heard me screaming for help, he left his garment with me and ran outside. Lord have mercy. She put Joseph's garment beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the same story. "The Hebrew slave you brought to us came to make a fool of me. But I screamed for help. He left his garment with me and ran outside." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, "These are the things your slave did to me." He was furious and had him thrown into prison, where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority. Look at this. And he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And the Lord made everything that he did successful. Chapter 40, after this, the Egyptian king's cupbearer and baker offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned Joseph to him, and he became their personal attendant. And they were in custody for some time. The Egyptian king's cupbearer and baker, who were confined in the prison, each had a dream. Both had a dream on the same night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they looked distraught. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" You ever seen people looking sad? "Why do you look so sad today?" Look at the answer in verse number 8. "We had dreams," they said to him, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. "In my dream, there was a vine in front of me. On the vine, there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." "This is its interpretation," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. You will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand the way you used to when you were his cup there. But when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to Pharaoh to get me out of this prison. For I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. And even here I have done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was positive, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. Three baskets of white bread were on my head. In the top basket were all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is its interpretation, Joseph replied. The three baskets are 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off you and hang you on a tree. Then the birds will eat the flesh from your body. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he gave a feast for all his servants. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Pharaoh restored the cupbearer to his position as cupbearer, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had explained to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Don't that happen? Chapter 41. This will be the final chapter of today. 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing beside the Nile when 7 healthy-looking, well-fed cows came up from the Nile and began to graze among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, sickly and thin, came up from the Nile and stood beside those cows along the bank of the Nile. The sickly, thin cows ate the healthy, well-fed cows. Then Pharaoh woke up and he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. 7 heads of grain, plump and ripe, came up on one stalk. After them, 7 heads of grain, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 plump, ripe ones. Then Pharaoh woke up, and it was only a dream. When morning came, he was troubled. So he summoned all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dream, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I remember my faults. Pharaoh had been angry with his servants, and he put me and the chief baker in the custody of the captain of the guard. He and I had dreams on the same night. Each dream had its own meaning. Now a young Hebrew, a slave of the captain of the guards, was with us there. We told him our dreams. He interpreted our dreams for us, and each had its own interpretation. It turned out just the way he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and they quickly brought him from the dungeon. He shaved, changed his clothes, and went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it. I am not able to, Joseph answered Pharaoh. It is God who will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Amen, Joseph. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile. Then seven well-fed, healthy-looking cows came up from the Nile and began to graze among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, ugly, very sickly and thin, came up. I've never seen such ugly ones as these in all the land of Egypt. Then the thin, ugly cows ate the first seven well-fed cows. When they had devoured them, you could not tell that they had devoured them. Their appearance was as bad as it had been before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I had seen and also seen seven heads of grain, plump and ripe, coming up on one stalk. After them, seven heads of grain, withered, thin, and scorched by the east wind, sprouting up. The thin heads of grain swallowed the seven plump ones. I told this to the magicians, but no one could tell me what it meant. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven ripe heads are 7 years. The dreams mean the same thing. The seven thin, ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven worthless scorched heads of grain are 7 years of famine. It is just as I told Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt. After them, 7 years of famine will take place. And all the abundance of the land of Egypt will be forgotten. The famine will devastate the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because of the famine that followed. Lord have mercy. When God breaks it down, it's broken down. For the famine was very severe. Since the dream was given twice to Pharaoh, it means that the matter has been determined by God, and he will carry it out soon. So now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint overseers over the land and take a fifth of the harvest of the land of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. Let them gather all the excess food during these good years that are coming. Under Pharaoh's authority, store the grain in the city so they may preserve it as food. The food will be a reserve for the land during the 7 years of famine that will take place in the land of Egypt. Then the country will be wiped out. Then the country will not be wiped out by the famine. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find anyone like this, a man who has God's spirit in him? Look how the Lord works things out. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one as intelligent and wise as you are. You will be over my house, and all my people will obey your commands. Only with regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, see, I am placing you over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. clothed him with fine linen garments, and placed a gold chain around his neck. He had Joseph ride in his second chariot, and servants called out to him, "Abraham!" So he placed him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but no one will be able to raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt without your permission." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and gave him a wife, Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph left Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout the land of Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced outstanding harvests. Joseph gathered all the excess food in the land of Egypt during the 7 years and put it in the cities. He put the food in every city and the fields around it. So Joseph stored up grain in such abundance, like the sand of the sea, that he stopped measuring it because it was beyond measure. Two sons were born to Joseph before the years of famine arrived. Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest at On, bore them to him. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, meaning God has made me forget all my hardship in my father's house. And the second son he named Ephraim, meaning God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Will he do it? Yes, he will. Verse 53, then the 7 years of abundance in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in every country, but throughout the land of Egypt there was food. Extreme hunger came to all the land of Egypt, and the people cried out to Pharaoh for food. Pharaoh told all Egypt, "Go to Joseph. And go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you." Because the famine had spread across the whole country, Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Every nation came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, for the famine was severe in every land. We're going to stop there and we'll pick up here tomorrow and read the remainder of the book of Genesis. Very interesting story. We read this morning to you Book of Genesis, chapter 28. Let me see here. Chapter 27 through chapter 41. Yes, we've read Genesis chapter 27 through chapter 41. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearers, the readers, and more so the doers of his word for the edification of our souls. Prayer time. If you have any prayer requests, you can type them in on Facebook, and we will grant your prayer request. and add you to our prayer list. Or if you'd like to make a request yourself or have a comment, you can call in on our blog talk line, 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, to you we give all honor and praise this morning, thanking you the best we know how. Thanking you for who you are and for what you do, and we just love you, Father, for you're a great God, and beside you there is no other. Father, we ask you to continue to be with us through the course of this day. Continue to incorporate us in the things that we need to be about. Special prayer this morning for Becky Hastings, who's doing a little better, feeling better because there's what she says, doing as well as can be expected, but there's no surprises. And so she's just glad for that, Father, for the little things, as you're helping her to heal a broken back. Father, we ask you to be with her and her family, be with Melissa. She was thrown from a horse, be with her recovery, be with her husband, and also be with her daughter, Sarah. Strengthen them and bless them in ways they ready to stand in need of, and be with Jim as well. And I'm asking you, Father, to if it be your will and your way, make a way for us to see one another on Sunday. Hopefully they'll be able to make it to service, to be encouraged even more for this journey. I'm praying this morning for Ben Thornley. Father, I ask you to be with him and strengthen him, ways you know he readily stands in need of. Also special prayer for Zane Gillian and Roger. I ask you to be with her and remember her company, his name Unique. And so we ask you to be with her and her business, Father. It's a cosmetic business. Looks like she's having a grand time with that. Roseanne was having a medical procedure. We're asking you, Father, to continue to be with her and strengthen her, bless her, and be with the doctors and them that will be working with her during this time. Praying for my cousin Rosalind Thomas Green, as she be with her and strengthen her in ways she really stands in need of. Hopefully we'll get a chance to see her on Sunday. And then we're also praying for Sharon Baker this morning, Father. Bless them, expand them today, Father. Give them what it is that they need to continue to roll on. Special prayer this morning, Father, for D.C. Williams. Ask you to be with him and bless him and Tonya. Strengthen them in ways they really stand in need of. Father, give him the advantage as he, too, is also recovering from a replaced shoulder. He had a shoulder replacement, but looks like he's doing much better and doing well. Father, that we're praying, always praying for my mother. I ask you to bless her and keep her and strengthen her in ways, you know, she readily stands in need of. Glad that her health is as well as it is, Father, and as she's approaching another birthday next month. Father, we ask you to continue to be with her health as she will continue to grow. Let's see here. You just put in the notes. Pray Pastor Terrence Barmore. He and his children have been called to the hospital as they have, and I can't see the rest of it. I'll try to pull it up one more. All right, Father, we know that you know the situation that's going on there with Pastor Terrence Barmore. He and his children have been called to the hospital. For whatever the reason is, Father, you can see the rest of it. I can't see it on screen right now. But, Father, we're just asking you to touch him, to be with them and comfort them during this time. Ask you to continue to strengthen them in ways that they readily stand in need of and bring them through whatever the situation is that they're dealing with. Father, we're just asking you to continue to be with them. They have a serious decision. Yeah, okay. Yeah, those are tough. Those are tough. So, Father, help them during this time to make the right decision in which they have to make. Father, we're praying for Merle Perkins this morning. I should be with Merle, and I should be with him and strengthen him in the ways he stands in need of. Special prayer this morning goes out to Philippia Hurley. Latonya Sugarlips Shields, Turner, Corey Dennison, Mike Wheeler, Mary Barton, and Pam Potts and Richard Potts, Amelie Potts. Bless them and keep them in ways they really stand in need of. Father, praying a special prayer this morning for my friend Rico McFarland. His father just passed away. Rico's been a foot behind many musicians over the years, from the late Ballard Wellington to Sugar Blue to the late James Cotton and Sun Seals. Jimmy Johnson, and on and on and on. He's just been, and now he has his own group, the Rico McFarland Band. Him and his crew, we ask you just to be with him, Father, a great brother and talented brother, but he's now suffering loss of his father. And I don't care how your talent is, it definitely is going to hit you when death comes close to home. He had a tough time when his brother passed. Now his father. So we ask you, Father, to be with him, with him during this time. I'm praying for him, reaching out to him if he needs me, just for comfort. And I'm asking you, Father, to bless him the ways he really stands in need of. Special prayer today for Mary Barton, LaWanda, Denise Troutman, Denell, Jonathan Carnega, Mimi Ramirez, and the Hambrick family, Rhonda Hambrick, Christine Moss, Hambrick, Henderson, and ask you to bless them and keep them ways they stand in need of. Praying for Carla Dawson and Harry Hall and his health, and my May, Mary Hall, and then Catherine and Gladys. Bless them, keep them in way they stand in need of. Special prayer for Paula Saunders and Trisha Johnson and Robert Opanalek and Michael Nwoke and the Nwoke family, Nash Esther, Terry Cooper, Paula Zines, Wiley Shanes, Nellie Remsen, Reginald Rudis, Lori Young, Bonnie Hill, Beverly McQueary, my cousin Michelle Brown, Janice Cowan Perkins, Linda Williams, and Julie Rigger Rossi. Ask you to bless them and keep them in ways they really stand in need of. Be with Julia and her daughter as she's still in school, Father, and bless them and keep them. We're praying for Arthur Ellis and his family, Charles Barber and his family, Mom Doris Arnold and Millicent Miller today, Father. Ask you to bless them and keep them, strengthen them in ways they stand in need of. Praying for my cousin Art Owsley Jr. and Rochelle and Tony Bosley. Praying for Cheryl Paul and Kathy and Woods Hunt. Special prayer for Katie Rogers and my good friend Dennis Mann. I should be with him and his family. Praying for the Bowles family, Danielle and Kevin Bowles. Rose, Denise Southwick, I should be with her and her family. Praying for Vince Aguada and his wife and his son, and then praying for his new album that they go forward. Prayer for Sharon Jenkins Wells and James Brooks, Brenda White, Michelle Gant, Henry J. Walker, Chrissy Weston, Tondia Hall, Billy Joe Kropp, and Terry Hendrickson this morning, Father. Praying for Thomas Boston and Big Joe Thomas. That should be with him and strengthen him where he stands in need of. Big Joe put out yesterday that he's asking for prayer because there's no gas and no water. There's no gas and no electricity where he's at, and he's going to have to move. It seemed like the devil was grabbing hold of him, so Father, he's asking to resist the devil and flee. So we're praying for Big Joe, continue to pray for him, that he will continue to stand strong through this trial that he's dealing with. Good morning, Sheldon Williams. We ask you to be with him and his family, strengthen him in ways that you know he readily stands in need of. Father, we're so glad to have him up with us this morning. Praying for Edwin Edwards today and Evelyn Harvey and Bishop Lloyd T. Lockett and his wife and the ministry that he does, the television. Praying for Michelle Carter and Tracy Moats and her mother, and for Grace Robinson and Candido Matadias and Dolores Stewart Johnson. Father, we're praying for Gladys Gardner Turner and Robert Turner. Bless them and keep them in ways they really stand in need of. Praying for Sheila Thomas and Andrea Stead. Praying for and his family. Praying for Daniel Zepeda and Jody Ardina Zepeda. The Zepeda family, Father, Lupe and all those guys. Bless them and keep them in ways they stand in need of. Hope to see them on Sunday. Praying for Parthen Allen and Mom Dolores Jordan this morning. For Anna Marie Maxwell and Leon Kennedy. Father, praying for Christopher Chesnew, Joseph Morganfield, Mom Linda Pinson. Ask you to bless her and keep her. Strengthen her way she really stands in need of, Father. Ask you to be with Angie and with Jazz and with Deja and with Patrick, I call him Lil Barkley, and that entire clan. Praying for Irv and praying for Felix, who is having a surgical procedure today, Father. We ask you to be with him, strengthen him and bless him, and be with the doctors and nurses as they are with him during this day, Father. We ask you to comfort him during this time. I believe he's at Gottlieb Hospital. We're praying also for Skirky and for Paul. Praying for Mary Floyd and for Mary Walker and their entire clan, Father. I ask you to bless them all where they stand in need. I'm praying for my sister-in-law, Alice, Yancey Tiggs. I ask you to be with her in her campaign. Praying for the children, Rashonda and little DJ and Savannah. Praying for D'Angelo. Bless them all the ways they really stand in need of. Praying for Tay Wooden this morning, Father. And praying for Daniel Carter. Praying for Terry Hind and Manuel Jonathan Sr. Praying for Elisa Lily Speed and Mario Williams and Steve Carter. Father, praying for Floyd Barnes today and Mackenzie Alexander, Kiki, her health. We ask you to continue to bless her and keep her rolling on. And Tina Carrillo, Father. Ask you to bless them and keep them today, the way they stand in need of. A special prayer for Brenda Gossett and Melvin Smith, Darlene Shaw and Eddie Banshaw and Mom Shaw. Bless them, keep them, and strengthen them, Father. Praying for Carl Davis and Andrew McCaffrey. Praying for Grace Robinson and the Leeches today, Father. Praying for Brother Errol Leach Sr. And Mom Leach. And then praying for Errol Leach Jr. and Sister Carol Leach. Be with her and her health during this time, Father. Praying for Floyd Barnes. And this sister, praying for the Lopez's, B.J. Lopez, Neil Lopez, and the daughter. Bless them and keep them where they stand in need of and the work that they're doing. They're at the New Maywood College Church of Christ. Praying for the Flowers family and the Jackson family and just actually the Channel family and all of them that have dealing with bereavement. Bless them and keep them where they stand in need of. Praying for Sister Griffin and Brother and Sister Eddie Gillis and Patrick and Deja English in the 51st Street congregation, Percy Hope and all of them, Father, bless them, keep them where they stand in need of. Special prayer for Will Crosby and Christella Jones on this day, Father. Strengthen them and bless them the way they stand in need of. Praying for Herb Walker and Susan and Frankie, Father. Praying for Ishmael. Praying for James Finley and Sister Finley today. Praying for Melissa Burrell today, Father. Bless her and keep her. Praying for the Raybons, Art Marcy Raybon, Jordan Raybon and Sydney Raybon. Bless them all and their families accordingly and the congregation that they're working at, Father. Bless them. Praying for Maurice Gardner, my friend, and his wife, Susan. Bless them and keep them away they stand in need of. Special prayer today for Donna Morrison, Mom Dolores Jordan. Praying for Zane Gillian. I should bless her and keep her. Strengthen her in ways that she stands in need of. Kathy and Woody Hunt. Praying for Chubby Carrier and his wife and his daughter and the Bayou Swamp Band. Bless them. I know they're in Las Vegas right now, Father, doing the show. Be with them. Keep them safe and sound. Give them traveling grace. Praying for Jonathan Cardenega, Korea Morgan. Praying for my cousin Daryl and Jody Peavy, newlyweds. Bless them and keep them away. They stand in need of. For Minister Wilbur Cook. And Cheryl Gilliam, praying for my sisters Lois and Phyllis. Ask you to continue to be with them and Betty and Larry and all the clan there. Praying for Michelle and Jenny and Mike and all the clan there. And ask you, Father, just to continue to be with my sister Lois in her rehab. I believe today may be the last day of the medicine drop, so they'll be able to move her from that facility prayerfully. Hopefully, to a better facility for physical therapy so that she can walk, Father, and be able to move around. So we're praying for that. Praying for my sister Phyllis, who's putting everything in motion, Father, and ask you to be with her and strengthen her in ways she really stands in need of. Praying for Melanie Brown and Julian Brown. We're praying for Steve Bell and Tyson Bell, and James Bell, and entire Bell crew, Carrie, Larry Bell, praying for Luke Miles Sr. That should be with him. Spoke with him yesterday. And his wife, Kim, that she'll bless him and keep them away. They stand in need of. Still special prayer he asked for Jeremiah, who is incrementally progressing. And we're thankful for the increments, Father. We're praying also for Isaiah, who is back now, came in a couple of days ago, and his health is having problems as well, Father. So we're asking you to be with him, strengthen him the way we stand in need of. Praying for Luke Jr. and Ivory and Johnny and all their children. Ask you to bless them and keep them away as they readily stand in need of. Father, praying for James Mitchell States, who's came in town as well. Ask you to be with him and strengthen him in ways he stands in need of his mother. Praying for her as well. Praying for Elnora Peavy and Alvin Davis and Audrey Hogshead and Portia Thompson, Leon Johnson, George and Margie Shane, Virgo Queen, for Daryl DeBerry, Andre Marshall, and his father and his daughters and his wife. Bless him in ways he stands in need of and his health. Praying for Elizabeth Williams, for Eugene Carter and his ministry down in Mississippi. Praying for Eddie Lee Brown, Sarah Edwards, Sharon Vasquez, Brenda Butler. She'll be with her and bless her in ways she stands in need of. For Sean Craig Dean and the entire Dean family, Melvin Dean and Carol Dean and all of them, Father. Bless them in ways they stand in need of. Praying for Lucinda McClendon. Ask you to be with them and bless her ways that she really stands in need of. Special prayer for Pat Haynes Ford today, Father, and for Bishop Thaddeus Anderson today, Ruth Rye, Zola Upchurch, and Dwayne Anderson today, Father. Praying for Dolores Stewart Johnson and special prayer for Rosalind Redmond for her health. Ask you to bless her and keep her in ways she stands in need of. Praying for John Thomas today and for Mary Myers Love and for Vincent Mahan. Father, bless them all the ways they really stand in need of and their families accordingly. Praying for the Sims family, Lord Sims Sr., Lord Sims II, Mom Sims, and their daughter. Bless them and keep them away they stand in need of. Praying for the Lugos, praying for Mom Lugo. Ask you to be with her and her health, Father, for her two thumbs and the arthritis that she's having struggling with, Father. We ask you to be with her, comfort her during this time, praying for Pop Lugo. Praying for Tito, praying for Mark, and praying for the daughter as well. Bless them all the ways they really stand in need of. Bless them all the ways they stand in need of, and their children and families accordingly. Praying for Janet Williams and for Katrina Casey and for Jeanette Nunnery and for Donna Mendenhall. Special prayer for the Finleys, James Finley and Sister Finley. For Catherine Lewis, for Phyllis Brown, for James Robinson. Praying for Paula Saunders and Lisa July, for Mom Doris Arnold, for John Fitzgerald Austin and his wife. Praying for Jonas Ross Jr. and Nick Conti today, Father. Praying for Connie Hunter, Philip Henderson, and Francine Sneed. Praying for Estelle Foley and Nash Esther. For Peggy Busby White and Vanessa Edwards Jones, Father. Actually, bless them all the ways they really stand in need of. Praying for Michelle Jordan, Carmen Winters, and Justina Giggers today, Father. Praying for Janet Moss and Millicent McGrew, Sheila Thomas and Randy Cole Sims and his wife Debbie Sims and the work that they're doing in Florida. Bless them and keep them at the Fisk Boulevard Church of Christ. Praying for James Mitchell Skates and for Tanika McManning. Praying for Janice Carter and B.D. Pruitt and Paula Marie Schmidt and Mary Barton, Robert Opinowick, and Robin Bryant, Father. Praying for Cheryl Paul and Jay Miles and Michelle Jordan. Praying for Pastor Liz Porter Wayne and Bru Arthur Davis. Praying for Lania Jacobs. Praying for Ernest Lillen and his wife, Cassandra. Bless them and strengthen them where they stand in need of, for his daughters and for his mom, Peggy. Bless them and keep them, Father, and the entire Lillen Gant family. I ask you to strengthen them, Father, and where they stand in need of. Special prayer for Marcella Wooders and for Gerald McClendon and his family. Praying for Benicia Owens and Tanya Wesby, for Connie Hunter and Roe Collins and Gigi Collins. Praying for Diane Adu and Leanne Johnson and Janet Williams and Lloyd Williams. Praying for Lamont Sampson and his mother, Father, in Virginia. Bless them and keep them away as they stand in need of. Special prayer for Holly Barnes and her mother, for Tanja Wiggins, for Max Swang, for J.B. Payne. Father, we ask you to be with Jeff Burton and bless him the words he stands in need of. For Harmonica Bow, Lincoln Beauchamp Jr., and all his literary and musical skills that he has. And praying for Sharon Baker and for Carolyn Dean, for the Lyles family, Chauncey and Sophia Lyles, and praying for the Lewis family, praying for Puna Lord, Mary Amazing, Cheryl Jerry, Larry Lee, for Barbara Miles, Wayne Miles, and their families accordingly, Father. Bless them and keep them. Praying for Carmen Winters and Melanie Brown, for Floyd Tyrone Rudis and Brenda Butler, for Preston Sellers, for Brian Dawson, praying for Eugene Thurston. Praying for Mark Gidden and his family, Eddie Mears and his family, and his mother Marie. I should be with Marianne Lampkin and Peggy Busby White and Billy Lovelady and the Day family, Brian Day, Breon Day, Broderick Day, and Brenda Day Wilson. Bless them all and their families accordingly. Praying for Dewan Carter today, Father, and Carlos Johnson, for Paula Zions, Carl Weathersby. She would be with the strength of them, Father. Praying for Billy Branch and Moses Rudis Jr. and Calvin Skip Gaston. Special prayer for Javon Jesse and his prayer request for the work he's doing there in India, and then for Sister Yaoki from the Wyra Church of Christ, who is suffering with Dan. Father, praying for my family as well. Praying for my sister, Shawan and Shanice. Praying for my brothers, Tyrone Darnell, Mose, and Damian. Father, I'm asking you to bless them all in ways they really stand in need of. And then I'm praying for my wife and for myself, for my daughters, Juanita and Nicole. And I'm praying for my wife, Marie, and myself, Father. I ask you to bless us and keep us in ways you know that we really stand in need of. Build us up where we've been torn down, and help us to continue to roll forward. Father, we love you. We adore you on this day. And if this will be enough, in Jesus' name, let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and them crucified. Have a great day. Good morning, Your Majesty. Have a great afternoon.